Welcome to Hardwood Handicappers with Zach Cohen, right here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This is Zachary Cohen, VSiN.com senior editor with a Friday edition of Hardwood Handicappers. Today is February 27th. It is 10 a.m. Eastern, and we have a couple of games to talk about for tonight. I also want to talk about the number one pick in the 2026 NBA draft. I do some draft writing for Real GM, so I have a major interest in the draft. I cover these prospects all throughout the year and definitely think that there's some stuff to talk about in terms of betting the number one pick at this point in the season. So we're going to get into all of that after, but we do have some big games tonight, like I said. Potentially two conference finals previews, and it starts with the Cavaliers at the Pistons at 7 p.m. Eastern. This game sees Detroit laying 6.5 points, totals 227.5. Reading you odds from DraftKings Sportsbook, they could change, especially with a lot of injury uncertainty, and this game has a lot of that. I mean, James Harden is questionable after having broken his right thumb, his non-shooting thumb, a couple days ago against the Knicks. But it does seem like he's going to be back very soon and potentially tonight. But Donovan Mitchell is out for this Cleveland team, and he's not the only one that it looks like he will miss tonight's game. I mean, Max Strus is out for the Cavaliers right now. You still have guys like Keon Ellis, Dean Wade, Dennis Schroeder all listed as questionable. So the reason you're seeing the Pistons favored by so much is because there is going to be, you know, quite a few absences on the Cavaliers side, which kind of digs this, you know, Eastern Conference Finals preview. I'm really looking forward to seeing these teams battle at full strength because I am a believer that Cleveland is the best team in the East. And I still believe that, even though Harden suffered that injury. I mean, I guess we'll get a good look eventually at what he looks like with that, whatever wrap he's going to be playing with on his thumb. But I do think he's going to be just fine, especially because I do think that the player that they acquired is supposed to be more like the Philadelphia playmaker version of Harden that really runs the offense and prioritizes, you know, the assists and getting everybody in the right spot, as opposed to like this year's version of Harden on the Clippers that was relied on to score like 25 points per game each night. And that actually plays into what I have in this game for this evening, which is James Harden over 7.5 assists at minus 115. Hopefully he ends up playing, but if he does not play and you put this in, it will simply be voided. So really no harm, no foul. But I do like what I've seen out of Harden as a playmaker since arriving in Cleveland. I just think you look at some of the games he's played over the course of his time at the Cavaliers, 8.0 assists per game, 13.7 potential assists per game, and 9.7 adjusted assists per game. So he's been doing a really good job of setting his teammates up for quality looks. And that 9.7 adjusted compared to the 8.0 assist that he has means that he set his teammates up for very good looks and looks that they probably should have made. So with better luck in the shooting department from his teammates, he would be a little bit higher when you're looking at his assist numbers. And I'll also add, I just think that like overall this situation is perfect for him because not only does he have like the two like elite pick and roll finishers in Evan Mobley and Jared Allen, but you also have the three-point shooting of guys like Sam Merrill. You have Donovan Mitchell to finish plays, although not tonight because he is out for this game. But I do think that overall he has plenty of options and guys that he could trust to knock down shots for him. So I think that in this game, if Mitchell is not playing, which he isn't, and Harden is on the floor, you're probably going to get a good passing performance out of Harden because the usage rate will be higher. I think that there will be some tentativeness with him as a scorer with whatever he's playing with on his right thumb. It might take him some time to get used to playing with that thing on his hand. And I do think eventually he'll probably find a way to play through it and play well offensively as a scorer. But for now, I really do believe it's going to be him kind of just making sure he's setting other guys up for good shots and, you know, allowing his teammates to kind of carry him a little bit as he recovers a little bit. I mean, this is an injury that while he's playing through it, it's not supposed to take very long for him to heal from. So 2-3 weeks of him avoiding like a setback and, you know, he should be completely fine come postseason time. So I think that that's something really to consider this evening is Harden over 7.5 assists at minus 115. I wish that I had a play on the game, but with so many injuries, it's really hard to do it. I still think that I would lean Cavaliers if you're getting Harden out there with Ellis and Schroeder and everybody. If you're just only missing Mitchell and Strus, I think the Cavaliers can keep this game within six. So that would be a lean for me, but make sure you're waiting and looking at the injury report because if a few other guys are out, then it just quickly changes to a situation where I'd be looking at the Pistons as like a money line parlay team, because it'd be a little too hard to ask Harden to drag this group to a win with an injury that he's playing through for the first time. So that's my lean on this game. It's a little boring. I wish that we had like a clean Eastern Conference final preview with no injuries, but not today. So hopefully a little bit later in the year. But let's move on now to Knicks at Bucks at 8 p.m. Eastern. This is a game where the Knicks are 8.5-point favorites. Total is 219.5. Tips at 8:10 p.m. Eastern. I had a slight lean on the Bucks in this game. I've just been really enjoying what we've seen out of Milwaukee lately. They've turned into almost a covering machine, and they've been very, very reliable, even without Giannis all of a sudden. Like, so strange. I mean, for the early portion of this season, when they played without Giannis, they looked completely dead, and it was like the type of thing where you're thinking about him watching his teammates, and you're like, all right, I get why he might want out or doesn't want out, whatever he says, but I can see why his agent might want him out. I do think it's Giannis, but it was so ugly. They were not able to create anything offensively. The defense was terrible. All of a sudden, the offense looks great without Giannis out there, because this three-headed monster in the backcourt, which really probably does a little bit too much, maybe giving a little too much credit to Cam Thomas, but with Ryan Rollins and Kevin Porter Jr. playing the way that they are lately, this Bucks team looks a lot feistier, a lot more competitive, and this is a Knicks team that defensively I have a lot of questions about, especially when it comes to pick-and-roll defense. I'll talk a little bit about that later, but these guards for Milwaukee, Rollins and Porter, can both play pick-and-rolls very effectively. So if they're just consistently running ball screen actions against a really bad Knicks defense, I don't really see any reason they can't keep this game somewhat close. Also, like, you know, Turner in a game like this, just to maybe space out, you know, whoever's playing the five for the Knicks, and, you know, make it a little bit easier on the drivers for this Milwaukee team. But I do think this is a game that could be somewhat close. I'm not taking a side, though. I know that that's maybe a little misleading because I started with it. What I'm playing again here is just going back to the well with Kevin Porter Jr. over 30.5 points, rebounds, and assists at -124. You just look at the last nine games, all games played without Giannis, 21.9 points per game, 7.9 assists per game, and 5.4 rebounds per game. I said it the other day, like, he is now the focal point of this Bucks offense. That'll change when Giannis comes back, but that might not be anytime soon. And as long as Porter is just a guy that you're rolling the ball out to and saying, go make plays, he could do it. I mean, this is a guy that, like, people were comparing to James Harden coming out of college, and all these off-court issues, a weird year at USC, a shaky start to his career, both on and off the floor, have led him to being this kind of discount player that Milwaukee's been able to sign very, very cheap. But recently, he has looked the part of the guy that everybody thought that he would maybe be one day. So kind of turning into a high-level starter, at least offensively, for this Bucks team, and somebody that, as you look ahead to next year, like, I know a lot of people are writing Giannis's return off and saying that he will not be back in Milwaukee. I've kind of said for a very long time, would not be too quick to say that. Like, this is a team that has three first round picks to trade this summer, and that is very, very valuable in this league. You go out and you get a high level wing, and you're no longer playing Kyle Kuzma like 35 minutes next to Giannis, and all of a sudden you're talking about a team with like Rollins, Porter Jr., a good wing, like a Trey Murphy is the guy that I keep coming back to. Trey Murphy, Giannis, Turner. That's one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. Like, I know that a lot of people don't see the pathway to them putting a championship roster around Giannis, but I think it's going to be a little easier than people think because of what we've seen from both Porter and Rollins, who are both playing on very cheap deals both this season and next season. So I would not rule out the possibility of Giannis coming back next year. But yeah, Porter has been great, and he's been absolutely stuffing the stat sheet, and he has been serving as like the unquestioned one on this team as they have won these games lately. And I don't think there's any reason to believe that the Knicks of all teams are going to go out and shut him down. I just said before, this is a bad team against pick and rolls. Well, they're actually 26th in the NBA defending pick and roll ball handlers. So Porter, who is going to be running a ton of those actions, is going to get a lot of opportunities to either make plays, lobbing the ball to, you know, Turner inside or whatever, or just, you know, knocking down jumpers off pull-ups, which is another weakness for this Knicks team. They're just 18th in the NBA defending pull-up jumpers, and Kevin Porter Jr. is a guy that can really knock down shots off the dribble. So I think this is going to be a big game for him as a scorer. I don't really see any reason he's not going to have a good game as a passer. Like, he seems like he's good for 7-8 assists every single night. And he has been pitching in on the glass. Like, he's been getting his hands dirty. He's been a big, big part of this recent surge from Milwaukee. And I just think this is going to be a closer game than people think. And I think that Porter will be a big part of that. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Rollins too. Rollins obviously was my guy earlier in the year. Have kind of, you know, moved a little bit towards Porter lately. I just think there's been a little bit more consistency there. Both guys are great, though. Big fan of this backcourt in terms of what I'm seeing on the floor. Again, I'll reiterate, not a big fan of Kevin Porter Jr. off the floor. There's some demons there, some bad stuff, but he's playing, and we have to handicap this stuff. We have to watch. We have to talk about it, and he is playing well. If you're looking to sharpen your edge this NBA season, VSiN Pro is where to start. Get advanced analytics, player prop projections, and expert insights used by serious bettors every day. Try it out for only $9.99 for your first month and see what smart bettors are using to beat the books. Head to vsin.com/subscribe. Check out all of our subscription options. I'll say it again. I say it every single day. Best time of the year to take advantage of this $9.99 offer. You're going to get all of our conference tournament previews for the NCAA. I'm going to be doing some Indian Wells stuff for tennis next week. We have MLB up on the website. We have all of the NBA stuff that I'm doing, all of the NBA stuff that Steve Mackinnon's doing. We have horse racing, soccer, everything. We have every single thing you could possibly think of up on the website right now. But I would say that the $9.99 is a really good way to kind of get involved with what we have coming for March Madness, which is going to be absolutely huge. We do a great job of covering the tournament. I'll put our work up against anyone. So definitely check out vsin.com right now. It's a great time to do that. Let's move on to the last game I want to talk about, which is the Nuggets at the Thunder at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. I'll just quickly mention that, like, there are two other games tonight. The Nets are facing the Celtics. The Grizzlies are facing the Mavericks. I'm not touching that Nets-Celtics game. Boston's favored by nearly 20. That Nets team is tanking. And the other game involves two tanking teams. I do not like touching those teams when they are playing one another. Just have no idea what's going to happen. The basketball is just so ugly. So I'm focusing on the three games that matter and the three games that I can really handicap knowing who will be out there. And with this game specifically, Nuggets Thunder, you're talking about a potential Western Conference Finals preview. Like I said before, the second of two conference finals previews for tonight, potentially. No guarantees. But this game, Thunder favored by 8.5 points. Total's 233.5. This game tips at 9:40 p.m. Eastern. And I do like Denver in this game, +8.5, which is -110. I think a lot of the talk today is going to be about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander returning for OKC, which it should be. This is, you know, the MVP favorite coming back. And, you know, he had a good time. Like, he was starting to run out of games that he could miss in order to win the MVP award. But coming back today gives him some wiggle room moving forward, some more wiggle room, especially when compared to Jokic, who's on the other side in this game and can only miss one more game the rest of the season in order to be eligible. But yeah, SGA comes back a little bit earlier, not earlier than expected, but like, I think that last week it was looking a little grim. And I know a lot of people, we talked about it a ton on this podcast, but like, started to get really excited about Cade. Now you're back to a situation where Cade's only chance is if SGA does not finish this season healthy. So this is a big return for OKC. And it's a big return for their team. Like, SGA coming back, that's the center of their universe. This is, you know, best player in the league on the perimeter, like, pretty easily. And I think that, you know, with OKC playing at home, with guys like Caruso, Dort, and all of them around him, Hartenstein, Holmgren, I could see why people would be, you know, quick to throw the Thunder into moneyline parlays, maybe even lay the points, because the Nuggets right now still playing without Aaron Gordon, still playing without Peyton Watson, and Jamal Murray is questionable with an illness tonight. So not the greatest injury report for Denver, but I will add, like, no Jalen Williams still for OKC, no AJ Mitchell. Those are two important pieces for this Thunder team. And it might not be as simple as just throwing SGA out there and hoping that he's the best player in the world again. It might take him a game or two to get comfortable. You never really know. So I would not bank on him having 40 tonight on efficient shooting. Having said that, he'll probably go for 50 on efficient shooting because I had to say it out loud. But I don't think that SGA is going to have the greatest game right away, even against the Denver team that really doesn't have the greatest of on-ball options. It's probably going to be Christian Brown checking him tonight. Brown's been okay on the ball, not great. He's not like the stopper that, like, I feel like he was billed as a few years ago, and the stopper that he was maybe paid to be over the summer, but solid defender, not great. So not the worst matchup in the world for SGA, but still, I just think it's a lot to ask somebody to come back from a lengthy injury layoff and to play really well in a high leverage matchup. And this is a really big game. Like, it doesn't really mean much, like, in terms of standings or anything. Like, OKC is going to finish above Denver, barring something crazy happening the rest of the season. And I don't think that's going to happen, not with Denver playing the way that they are, not with Denver dealing with the injuries they're dealing with. But it's a game that I think is going to be played with the playoff intensity. I think you get that every time these two play. And I just think that this is a game that should be close. I'm a little surprised to see 8.5 here. I think that we just saw one of the best performances of the season, at least defensively, from Denver in a game against Boston on Wednesday, in which they won 103-84. That was a game where they had 2 days of rest, 2 days of preparation to kind of get the defense right and get them ready for, you know, an explosive Celtics attack. Well, they looked up to the challenge, and now they had an extra night after that to get ready for this Thunder team. And I just kind of think that if they show up and they're locked in defensively here, there's no reason they can't keep this close, because offensively they can score on anyone on any given night, even when they're playing without some of their pieces. As long as Joker's on the floor, even if Murray's not out there, this is a guy that's going to drag you up to the level of a top 10 offense in terms of offensive efficiency. And that's no different even against a Thunder team that is elite defensively. And I just think that also we look back to last season, the postseason, we clearly saw like a Denver team that was comfortable playing against OKC. And David Adelman, the head coach for this Nuggets team, was really smart about kind of like mixing up coverages, mixing in some zone, you know, kind of just trading off between man and zone and like modified zones, just trying to find creative ways to slow down this Thunder team. And they were able to do it pretty consistently. I mean, a series doesn't go seven without you finding some success defensively. And I do think it's going to be a situation where it's kind of the same thing with the OKC. Every time they face a good team, are the role players going to knock down their threes? If they do, they'll probably win and cover. If they don't, that team's going to have a chance. And I think it'll be somewhere in between tonight. I don't want to say it's going to go, they're going to be ice cold or they're going to be scorching hot. Like, if they're going to go ice cold against this defense, it'd be a little surprising. But like, I think it'll be somewhere in between. And I think that that's enough for the Joker to have an opening to play well enough offensively and to create looks for his teammates at a high enough clip for them to keep this game within 9 and, you know, keep it within double digits. So I really like the 8.5. There's also some trends that I think are interesting when you kind of look at Denver. They're 6-4 straight up and 7-3 against the spread when facing teams that allow 108.5 or fewer points per game since Adelman took over. So good team in terms of winning and covering when facing good defenses. Also 8-4 against the spread when facing teams with winning percentages of 70% or higher. So covering a lot against the top level competition in the league, and 10-4 against the spread as underdogs of 3.5 to 9.5 points, which just tells me that this is not a team that you should be giving a lot of points to. So that's why I'm going with the Nuggets tonight. I've definitely had situations this season where I backed Denver for kind of like similar reasons and they definitely let me down, but I think the Nuggets are the right side here. We'll see. Maybe it's a close game for three quarters and OKC kind of pulls away late. Those are the worst types of losses, but I think Denver is the team that you want to play. Let's talk a little about the NBA draft now. I think that this is a really fascinating draft class. Like I said earlier in the show on Hardwood Handicappers, I do some draft writing, freelance stuff on the side for Real GM, where I just kind of do some like draft profiles on some of the best players in the class. Usually end up writing like something on each of the lottery prospects, maybe something on like the international prospects together and whatever. I just cover like 20 to 30 prospects a year, usually watching a lot more than that. And this is like as fascinating a draft as I could really think of, because I think maybe the first draft that I covered was like the LaMelo Ball and Anthony Edwards draft. That one was kind of similar in a way, because Edwards had some off the court stuff, not even off the court stuff. There were question marks about how much Edwards loved basketball. And like, he ended up getting picked number one, it didn't matter, but there were people kind of concerned about the fact that like, he was always a football guy growing up. He always loved to watch the NFL, did not love to watch the NBA. People were worried about kind of his drive. That reminds me of this season, because Darren Peterson, the favorite to go number one at -135, the guard for the Kansas Jayhawks, very talented player, is dealing with similar kind of question marks right now. It has nothing to do with football. It has to do with like rest management, like load management injury stuff with this Jayhawks team this year. Like, he has been pulling himself out of games, sitting a lot of games, and just overall looked really disconnected from his Kansas team. And I think that that is now opening the door for bit of a more interesting conversation when thinking about the number one pick in the draft. And I think that it's kind of something that we have to talk about when it comes to betting right now, because I do feel like this might be one of the last chances to get a value play on this pick. And I just think that today's the right day to talk about it. Other people are talking about it. I feel like other podcasts are starting to discuss this, but I will get into it now. I really just think that AJ Jabonsa, the BYU wing at plus 135 to go number one, is the pick you kind of have to make. And I'd be willing to put a couple of units on that. I'll probably write about this a little bit in my column today over at VSiN.com. So when I do my best bets and player props, at the bottom of that article, I'll include something about Jabonsa. But where I am right now is that it's pretty much a three-man race between Peterson, Jabonsa, and Boozer. Peterson minus 135, as I mentioned before. Jabonsa's plus 135. Boozer's plus 750. I think that Boozer's kind of on the outside looking in, although I write about these prospects. I'm not done with the idea of putting Boozer number one on my overall draft board this season. I think that he is so damn good. And just for a young player, a freshman, to be like leading the nation in box plus minus and just several other like efficiency stats speaks the world of what he's doing at Duke this season. So I'm a little surprised that Boozer's not in this conversation a little bit more, though I get it because like athletically he looks a little bit different than the other two, a little bit slower, plays at his own pace, and maybe a little bit harder to kind of picture fitting into like another NBA team without being in the right situation. But I'm not done with him as the number one. I might have him number one on my board when all is said and done. I just think he's so good. But I do think Jabonsa is the pick. And here's the reason why. Peterson, this year at Kansas, like, it's not that he's been bad. I mean, this guy is number eight in the country in box plus minus. He's had some games where he's put up big numbers. He's had some big, big shot-making performances. Already looks like one of the best shooters in this draft class, which is something that, like, coming out of high school, maybe was not supposed to be like an ultimate strength right away. But that's kind of where the Peterson thing gets weird, because like in high school, this was like a downhill attacker that was like vicious driving to the basket, had explosive like hops, like could dunk on anyone, and really played like a high pressure game on offense where he was just consistently putting rim pressure on opponents. Ever since he's gotten to Kansas, whatever the reason may be, if it's injury related, it's injury related, but no one knows for sure at this point. And I do feel like if there was something that was he was dealing with injury wise, people would know about it, because like, why wouldn't his team want that out there so that he could potentially go number one, unless he doesn't want to go number one and he wants to steer his way to another team. But he has not looked like the same athlete. He has not looked like the same mover, in my opinion. What he has looked like is just an elite shooter off the ball, a good movement shooter, and somebody that can occasionally go to the basket, but that's not who he is. But like, still, that's going to be weird and very difficult for NBA teams to deal with, because does this guy have like the right mentality to be a number one pick if he's not trying at Kansas? Like, I know that there might be all the reasons in the world for him to not be trying. It might be an NIL thing, whatever it is. I don't really know. Like, it's a unique situation where he might be the best player in the draft class. Like, I'll acknowledge that. Like, and I think that looking at all the high school tape of these players, Peterson was by far my number one, to the point that like before the season, I remember tweeting at some point, if you could find plus money odds on Peterson to go number one anywhere, jump on it, because it was Jabonsa at the time that was favored to go number one. And like, I still think there's a really good chance Peterson ends up being the best player, but there's so much uncertainty with it and so much weird stuff going on that I just can't see a team that's picking number one passing on kind of the sure thing that Jabonsa is. Jabonsa is a 6'9" wing that can score in isolation. He can rebound. He's big. Like, he's going to be able to play some three, some four. He plays hard on both ends of the floor. He carries a big workload every single night. His usage rate this season, 32.6. One of the highest usage rates is in all college basketball. That's as a freshman. And I just kind of think that there's a really clear path to him being slotted into an NBA starting lineup as either a three or a four, and him immediately being like an 18-5-5 guy, maybe even doing a little bit better than that. And somewhere down the road, if the jumper continues to get better, he continues to kind of work on his defense, you're talking about an all-NBA caliber talent. So I just think that there's like an NBA body, an NBA mentality, and just a clear desire to be a star in Jabonsa that you're not getting from Peterson. And it makes it like so that like if you're picking number one and you choose Peterson, you pass on Devonta, and like Peterson ends up still being kind of an odd guy to deal with in the pros and doesn't end up looking as explosive as he did in high school. Meanwhile, Devonta's like this excellent wing somewhere else when kind of everyone in the world knows he's going to be that. You're talking about a GM getting fired or a decision maker getting fired. So I just think Devonta is such a safe number one that he's going to end up going there. And I will add that like a few teams have been heavily linked to him as well. Like there's been, you know, reports coming out of the draft process that like the Jazz would definitely take Devonta if they pick number one. I believe the Pacers would take him if they pick number one. I mean, if you just look at like the current makeup of their roster, you're talking about a team with Halliburton, Nesmith, and Nembhard, and kind of a gap at the small forward spot. So it does feel like Devonta would be a fit there. The Kings are another team like the Jazz that like it's been reported that if they get number one, they're going to pick Devonta. So there's already a few teams that we kind of know will take him. But then you add in the recent like just odd stuff with Peterson and the strong play of Devonta. Like he had 28 points on 9 of 14 shooting from the floor, 3 of 4 shooting from 3 against Houston not too long ago. Also 35 and 7 in a road game against Arizona, where BYU played very well strictly because of him. The performances keep getting stronger. The eye test is there. The body is there. I just don't really see a team passing on him, even if you really believe deep down that Peterson's going to turn back into the guy from high school. I'm sure he will. It's just so risky not to take Devonta. And that's why at plus money odds, I thought this was something that like we should bring up today, talk about today and bet today, because I'm just not sure that it's going to continue to be out there at this favorable of a price if Peterson just kind of continues to sleepwalk through the season while Devonta kind of raises the noise the rest of the year, which he's going to, because Richie Saunders, their like electric three-point shooter, is out for the season. There's now more on Devonta's shoulders. He's only going to put up bigger numbers. It's only going to demand more of your attention. And yeah, it's just going to get a little bit louder, the stuff that you're going to hear over the next couple of weeks. People are going to start talking about this a little bit more. The draft is not kind of at the front of people's minds right now, but as it becomes that, as people kind of like the mainstream media and like casual basketball fans start to talk about like, oh, this is weird. Like this guy on Kansas just doesn't like to play basketball. That's strange. And then there's a guy on BYU that's like, awesome. Yeah, that guy's going to go number one and the odds are going to move and you're going to be happy that you took it at a plus 135 price. I'm very convinced of that. So wanted to talk about the NBA draft. We'll probably do a little bit more on the NBA draft a little later in the year. I'll talk about that with my producers and the higher ups, but I would love to do a little bit of that. But we always do some NBA draft stuff over at VSiN.com. So this won't be a complete one-off. I will be talking about the NBA draft come time for the NBA draft. But yeah, let's recap our best bets for tonight for Friday. But quickly, I wanted to say attention to any listeners who are new to VSiN. Signing up for our free daily newsletter is a great way to catch up. Delivered straight to your inbox every morning, VSiN's newsletter offers picks, data, and strategies for the day's betting menu. Sign up for free now at vsin.com/newsletter and start receiving your free newsletter tomorrow morning. That's vsin.com/newsletter. Stay ahead of the game and bet smarter with VSiN. All right, I have three plays for tonight. Hopefully this first one doesn't get voided. I hope we see James Harden play and play the entire game, or you know, his entire usual minutes workload. But Harden, over 7.5 assists at minus 115 versus the Pistons. Kevin Porter Jr. over 30.5 PRA at minus 124 versus the Knicks. And Nuggets plus 8.5 at minus 110 versus the Thunder. Those are the three picks for today. Hopefully we end up winning. Last night was a tough night. I thought for sure Kawhi Leonard was going to play, so I jumped on that 5.5. They ended up losing by 6. I still almost got the cover, even with Kawhi out, but ended up being a rough night between that and the Magic loss. But at least we got the maxi prop to hit, and hopefully we bounce back today with a little bit less kind of wackiness in the lineups. And make sure you join me on Monday for another edition of Hardwood Handicappers. And if you're looking for my picks over the weekend, they're over at vsin.com. I'll have player props, I'll have sides and totals, might have other stuff for tennis. So definitely head over to the website.